Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and I am so grateful for our class today. Our theme this time is all about opening to spiritual sight, opening our intuition, opening to inspiration and divine guidance. And our class specifically today is expanding into love. And this is the topic that I got to give to Miranda McPherson, and I'm so grateful you're here with us today, Miranda.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure, Jennifer, and all my love and warm wishes to everyone who's here with us today.
Miranda's the author of Boundless Love, and she is a beautiful teacher of A Course in Miracles. I first saw you, Miranda, at a Course in Miracles conference in England a few years ago. Patrick there, and I know you to be a very deep expressor of wisdom. You really live it, you really walk the talk, and that's what our series is all about. And before I get into asking you whatever Spirit's first question is, don't know, don't have a plan, I always like to bring us into prayer together. So I invite everyone to place their hand on their heart. And we do that to remind ourselves that we're wholeheartedly here to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit through Miranda, through everyone that's speaking to us. We're opening ourselves and expanding into an awareness of love's presence as our very life, as our very being, as everyone we meet. We are grateful and thankful to choose to listen to this one voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit. The higher Holy Spirit self is leading us and guiding us in this class. It's leading us to hear whatever message is just for us. It's leading us to join together for the purpose of remembering our true identity and the true identity of all our brothers and sisters. We are grateful and thankful to open ourselves to a time of healing. And we share the benefits with everyone because we're one with them. We are grateful and thankful to allow the healing to be. We let it be. And so it is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. So, Miranda, your work, your Boundless Love work, your retreats, your teachings, your offerings, your classes, everything that you do, as far as I can tell, is really about this recognition of love as our true identity.
You're absolutely right, Jen. Totally what it's all about.
I love that you're so focused on that. And I know that's why Spirit led me to ask you to teach us on this topic, because many people I meet, they're still really working with this intense belief of I'm bad, I'm wrong, I'm not good enough, something's wrong with me. And they get on a certain level that self-love is a key to their healing. And still, it feels elusive to them.
Yeah.
So to just begin to really open the door to a true and direct path to loving ourselves and each other, what is the guidance that you have?
Well, you know, I love that you just named about what most people are struggling with as that felt sense of I'm not good enough, I'm unworthy, I'm wrong, I'm bad, there's something wrong with me. I call this the ego's greatest hits, you know? I mean, if there were like a best of album, it would be exactly that. I'm not good enough, something wrong with me, I'm sinful, I'm bad, I'm unworthy, I'm unlovable. And while we can have a little chuckle about that right now, and I know everybody can too when we look at it like this, I mean, the truth of the matter is that this represents most people's sort of core nucleus of suffering. And we all know from our own experience, when we identify with that sense of lack, it's very painful. It's very frustrating. We don't feel that we are love. We don't feel the presence of God as our own heart. And so there's a sense of spiritual poverty.
Mm-hmm.
That is really, I think, the real problem on the planet. You know, when we don't feel that we are the love, and that we are powered by love, and that every breath we take is love, and that love isn't some commodity to get or receive or give. It's just who we are minus our personality. Then, you know, life can become just naturally very free and very beautiful. But, you know, from my own experience, and I'm just like everybody else, you know, for so much of my life, I felt this sense of lack that for me, you know, personalized into a script of feeling like I'm nothing, not good enough. And, you know, I spent so many years spiritually trying to fix that. Even all my study of A Course in Miracles, I was trying to get past that felt sense of being nothing and not good enough. That caused me to treat myself unkindly and to feel insecure and to look to get love and validation from others, you know, in some way, shape or form. But, you know, what I have to say about this is not like try and convince yourself it's not true, because I tried that. I didn't find it worked very well. What I found really worked ultimately was really going down into the basement and having a good look. Now, I remember when in my early 20s, and I'm now almost 50, in my early 20s, I was studying A Course in Miracles for the first time. I remember coming across that lesson in the workbook, there is nothing to fear. Now, I was really stumped that day because I remember reading it and thinking, I don't get it. I so don't get it. I must have missed something because this does not make sense. What do you mean there's nothing to fear? My emotional reality was that there was plenty to fear, and a lot of what I felt like I had to fear were these parts of myself that didn't feel right or that would come out reactively in some kind of difficult behavior that caused trouble in my relationships, you know, parts of myself that weren't very well behaved. And so I remember, you know, my response to not understanding this very pragmatic and straightforward lesson, which is basically saying, look, this just states a simple fact, was to go right back to the beginning of the workbook and to start again because it didn't make sense. But many, many years later, probably 15 years after this, I happened to be on pilgrimage in India and I was sitting in a cave in South India that had once been the cave that Ramana Maharshi had lived in. Mm. And I just somehow just dropped deep through that part of my mind. I wasn't trying to. It just happened spontaneously by grace. And I dropped through into the truth of I'm nothing. And it wasn't a deficient, bad, not good enough nothing. It was just, oh, I'm not a thing. I'm not an it. I'm not a she. I'm not a someone, you know. And so it was really in that there was just no fear at all. And I, all of sudden understood so many things that I'd been reading in the course for so many years, like, I need do nothing. Well, absolutely. This was probably the first time I'd actually ever stopped doing anything. I mean, I wasn't even trying to fix what I thought my fundamental problem was. Wasn't trying to spiritually convince myself it wasn't true. I just sort of dropped in and through the gates of my mind, which is what authentic surrender really is. I wasn't trying to do anything. I was really letting myself be. And in that, I discovered there literally was nothing to fear, nothing at all. What I thought was a problem was really just my ego's sense of its own limitations. And so that's what I think I've come to see, that that's what these deep fears that everyone I've met struggles with inside, of feeling not good enough, is just, well, it's like that place where you're hitting the basement of your ego where it just feels deficient, because our ego is lacking. Our ego isn't good enough. It's an imitation. It's a construct. Mm-hmm. And so this amazing smile at realizing that what you thought was a problem isn't a problem at all. It's just a certain kind of gate. And that if we can be willing and courageous enough to really look freshly with the eyes of the Holy Spirit into those things that we presume are problematic or fearful, or that usually have a feeling of, you know, ego deficiency, lack. If we can just open into that and take a fresh look, we see clearly for ourselves that what we fear isn't actually real. It doesn't have any real foundation. And so it's not lack anymore. It's just spaciousness. And in that, the boundaries of our ego, which, you know, that's why I like the term boundless love a lot, because what it really means is that the boundaries of our ordinary egoic fear-based, I am a separate being, that just disappears. And once we relax into that place, there's no beginning and no ending. There's no me and God. We just are. We're in that. And the natural fragrance of our experience is just loving. Is when we drop into that place beyond fear, into the unified condition, we feel our unity with everything and everyone. We feel that truth that, you know, we're not a body, that the vast space of the cosmos is our nature. And then there's naturally a sense of love for everything and everyone, and a joy in that lovingness. And life is very different. So I don't know whether this is kind of where you wanted me to go, but but to me, it's that it's dropping through the fears in and through where the boundaries drop away, and then the grace of the love just comes online. And then there's no effort, there's no trying to be the presence of love. We just are that.
Right. So I'm hearing in that the reminder of we don't have to seek for love, but only to look for the blocks to love.
That's correct. Absolutely. And the Course in Miracles is so strong on that. And I'm so grateful to the Course for really laying that so clearly at the very foundation of the whole teaching, that is the work, seeking to bring to the light of awareness all of the barriers. And the barriers are our presumptions, our history, our hurt, our belief, you know, and however that arises and expresses itself in us. But to go towards that with the eyes of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Holy Spirit, so we can meet it and see it what it actually is. And when we meet it all the way, we see it's nothing. It's really nothing. It's nothing real. So we don't have to tell ourselves it's not real. We have to look into our experience of what we fear is real. And that's how we get to see. It just kind of goes poof, you know, disappears into a puff of smoke. And then we laugh gently and gosh, you know, there really is nothing to fear. Quite literally.
Yes, that's right, because everything that we think there is to fear is made up. It has no substance. But we won't know that until we really are willing. That's the thing that I was talking about this with someone earlier today, that we can say, and I see this all the time, and I saw it in myself all the time, we can say we understand spiritual principle. We understand the power of our word and the power of our thought to manifest our life. We've all seen The Secret, all that stuff. You know, many people who listen to these classes have been studying A Course in Miracles for sometimes 20, 30 years. And then other people are brand new to it. But for all of us, the willingness is the key. And many, many times people think they are willing, but they're deceiving themselves.
That's right. Yeah. Then, so powerful. Glad you said that. One of the parts of the course that has been so important to me is in the manual for teachers, the characteristics of the teachers of God.
Yeah.
And it really, I mean, I just noticed when I was going through a very quantum shift in my identity. And it was in the year after that awakening in Ramana Maharshi's cave. And so, you know, as it says in the course, that when changes are called upon for a teacher of God, you know, it takes practice and maturity to see that they're always helpful and to, you know, not resist the changes but cooperate with them. And I was going through enormous changes at every single level that included change in my marital situation, change in my country, change in, you know, all my friendships. I mean, it was so enormous. And I was so grateful for all my years of study and practice that helped me to see this is helpful, let it happen, it's useful, trust it. But you see, what I started to track was it's not just willingness that's important. I know the course emphasizes it again and again, so it's a primary muscle that we need to develop. But what you just said about the tendency of the ego to deceive oneself is such a powerful force. And so, you know, the course lists all these beautiful and qualities like trust is the first one. But, you know, then it's honesty. And then it asks for all these other qualities. And once you start looking more deeply into your mind, you see that it's just a universal feature of all egos to, you know, trust their mind, trust their history, trust their perceptions, rather than trust the underlying pulse of deeper reality, which it always is love. And we also need to cultivate ever deepening truthfulness to really see when, you know, some hidden part of us might be saying I'm willing, but is very deliberately clinging to, you know, our status or some attachment or some position that we think is right. And that blocks the possibility of fresh grace coming forward into our mind to show us something new or to help us stabilize in a deeper realization or put it into practice in some very important way. So I've sort of taken a lot of these themes as they were really coming online and presenting themselves to me, and they've become a very big part of the body of my teachings on how people awaken. I call them the pillars of awakening. And the pillars are trust, love of the truth, curiosity, non-attack, humility, willingness, and patience. And these are the spiritual muscles that need to develop in all of us so that we can, you know, just keep opening into the invitations that the Holy Spirit brings us in every moment of our life, again and again, exponentially. And as we learn to do that, then there's just this complete expanse of possibility that comes for us, and the walls of our mind really start to disappear. And there's really no limit at all in the possibility for how much love we can live and express into this world.
So beautifully said. I love your pillars. They are clearly every single one of them instrumental, necessary.
Yeah.
I wonder if it seems like it would be so helpful, Miranda, if you could share a little bit about why each one is required for us to expand into love?
Yeah, totally. Well, trust is obviously is pretty obvious for most people, because if we can't trust, we can't let go. It's really as simple as that. Yeah. But as the Course in Miracles is saying to us, that often what we're trusting is our perceptions, our misperceptions on reality. And so we can be placing our trust in a direction that doesn't really help us to open up. But I love that line in the Course where it says, put all your faith in the love of God within you, eternal, changeless, and forever unfailing. This is the answer to whatever confronts you today. And so that's really showing us that the real trust is, you know, the trust that the underlying ground of reality is love, to trust that, you know, even when we might be dealing with cancer or someone we love is going through something very difficult and we don't seem to be able to do much to help them, that the love is still here, you know. And so trust helps us to resolve the issue of fear and the grip in our mind that limits love through fear. So I see trust and developing trust as the way to relax our fear muscles, if you like. And that means, you know, bringing our mistrust to the light of awareness, coming back to that principle that underlies everything that the Course in Miracles has to say, which is any occlusion, any limit, any lack, see it, look at it, you know, bring it to the light of awareness, look at it through the eyes of the Holy Spirit and be interested to see what the truth is. And so sometimes, you know, that leads us to see things from our history where we were very vulnerable and had so many needs of our parents and our culture to hold us, and it didn't seem to be what we wanted or needed. And so that has to, the hurt and the difficulty of that usually has to be met kindly and lovingly. And then so much more trust opens up. So I have a whole body of exercises that help us to excavate that material and help to shift our attention from the fear and the causes of fear in the past to the living presence of love that's always here in the present, and to actually receive that as a holding presence. And, you know, when I say that, I mean, just for example, when we take a breath, and a breath is a involuntary thing, you know, literally every inhale we take, we're taking in oxygen. And what is oxygen if not love emitted from the plant kingdom for us? Unconditional love. It's not emitting oxygen for some people who seem worthy of it and not for others. It's just part of the way the love of God expresses. You know, and that's just an example. You know, I could give a whole 2 hours just on trust. But love of the truth is also equally important. And as I said earlier, it helps us to deal with the challenging feature of self-deception that is just a feature of all egos. I mean, we see it in children who, you know, might have crumbs all over their mouth and they're looking with a sincere expression on their face saying, no, no, I didn't take the cookies out of the jar, I promise. Right? So we see the kind of the innocence of, you know, ego as it forms in children that has that feature in it. And so we have so much more spiritual strength when we really love the truth, whatever the truth reveals. Even if the truth is, right now I'm not willing, I'm really upset and I'm really attached to my position that you're right, that I'm right and you've done this to me, and right now I'm not willing to practice forgiveness with it, right? That might be very honest and truthful, and that will get us further spiritually than saying, yeah. Yes, I mean, I'm forgiving, I'm a spiritual person, I'm not holding judgments, while not actually really looking truthfully to see, no, actually I am. So the love of the truth helps us to be more real, and that helps us to actually ask the Holy Spirit for help with where we really need it. To give you an example of that, like, I remember in my early 20s, I was working through a lot of self-hatred, and I'd get kind of reactive in my relationships and angry, and, you know, I was having a hard time with that. And sometimes I would just take a walk around the block and I'd be praying to the Holy Spirit. And my prayers would be, Holy Spirit, here I am. I'm very pissed off. I'm caught in my reaction. I'm very attached to my position of thinking that I'm wrong and that the solution is really going to be that if the other person changes, and I can't quite seem to shift help. Now, that's an honest prayer. It's just very honest.
Mm-hmm.
I always found that incredibly helpful. So
yeah.
I would pray, I'm not very willing right now. Help me. Right? That's truthfulness in the way that helps to vivify our experience and help us to see where we need the help, where we need to actually open up a bit. And it also makes us much more open to receiving feedback from other people and from the universe that actually might be good for us. So then we also need curiosity. And see, curiosity is such a beautiful one because it really expands our consciousness. It helps us to question our assumptions, question our perceptions, to really be willing to come freshly with wholly empty hands unto God. Again and again and again, no matter what we understand spiritually, no matter what we know, you know, there's always more. You know, the nature of divine mind is exponential. And so if we take a posture of curiosity, it helps us to be continually open. Now, non-attack is obvious for anyone who studies A Course in Miracles because, you know, it makes very plain to us how every judgment is an attack thought. And that when we really start looking into our own consciousness, we see that there's so many attack thoughts, be they about ourselves or about others, and that they're very damaging to our peace of mind. It's a form of inner violence. And so it's very important that we learn to say no to, you know, attack thoughts, even if we find them, to not empower them, to not take them seriously, to not let them rule our consciousness. And so it's so important that we develop a compassionate, forgiving attitude towards the places that are hard for us. Even, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, self-love, but, you know, self-love really is about, you know, just being compassionate and kind with the things that you haven't perfected yet and refusing to beat up on yourself. And it's just the same way that any, you know, sane parent would counsel their child, you know, to stand up to a bully, you know, or to walk away, that they have that right and that power to say no when something is happening that is not respectful. And we know if it's not respectful, if it's not kind. But so often, you know, I see, and this is painful when I see it, that people who are practicing A Course in Miracles, they misunderstand the teaching that they shouldn't judge or that they're somehow failing spiritually if they can't forgive. And that's not really what the Course is saying. The Course is sort of so lovingly communicating in a way that's saying, look, sweetheart, I know you judge yourself and others all the time. Let me help you, you know. And so letting in that loving kindness and compassion helps to allow the possibility of real forgiveness that dissolves the hatred and the aggression and the judgment that is knifing ourselves and one another far too often. So again, I have a whole bunch of practices on how to really spot that inner judgment, how to spot when we're doing it to ourselves, and how to disengage or disidentify from that in a way that isn't just more of a fight. Quite a big piece of teaching for everyone that. Yeah. So we need humility as well, you know, again, because one of the quintessential features of ego is pride and arrogance, and we usually don't see that about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Whenever we think, I know or I should know, there's a form of arrogance, you know, when that's not the orientation. And so humility is really about allowing space for the I don't know and not turning that into something wrong, some cause for humiliation, but turning into the presence, the Holy Spirit, with what we don't know and asking for help and sitting in the quiet and sitting in that softness of the mystery that helps us to be receptive to deeper grace So it's so beautiful when humility really opens up, because we see that humility isn't just a virtue, it's actually also a very celestial state. It's got nothing to do with false humility or putting ourselves down, quite the opposite. It's really a bowing into the truth of I don't know that allows us entry into deeper receptivity. So, of course, we need willingness, and willingness helps us to deal with ego control. And, you know, we all know how that feels when we think that we should be in control, that we get very pushy and hard and tight and closed. And not only do we become difficult to others, but there's a lot of stress inside our own consciousness. And so willingness helps us orient our personal will, what we sense or experience as me in my faculties, into divine will. And so really that's the choice, to orient to, you know, my sense of me and what I think should have to happen here, and trying to do it myself, which we all know is a recipe for a very stressful existence, to realizing that we are here by grace. We, you know, every breath we take is happening by grace, and that there is so much love and help if we will turn into the origin of our being, not just for the big things, but for the little things. And we learn to live in the pulse of divine will. That's what willingness really is, turning back into the source of our being and letting ourselves be aligned with that. And then we all need patience, because, you know, a key feature of all egos is that kind of pushiness, trying to push ourselves into spiritual shape. And, you know, really, ultimately, all spiritual awakening asks us to surrender. And as we surrender, it's not just giving up the things we don't like or amputating some part of ourselves that we think shouldn't be there. It's really a deep yielding and a placing ourselves entirely in God's hands, and letting, you know, really recognizing that it's grace that lifts our veils, and that it happens in its own mysterious moment and time. And the more we can relax the reins and just be patient and just be here, then the more fluid things become. And I remember the line in the course where it says, infinite patience breeds infinite results. That's certainly my experience.
So much that you've just shared. And one of the words that you use frequently is grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite words, and it represents so much. And as you were talking, Miranda, saying the word represents so much, because words are, as A Course in Miracles says, symbols of symbols in this mm-hmm. world. And as you were speaking, Miranda, what I really saw in a certain kind of shiny new way is how grace, the grace of God, is divine will for us. That it's, you know, we were talking the other day in class about the fear of saying thy will, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And because we really are so entrenched in this idea of separation. But there is no separate will. I wonder if you could speak a little bit more about grace.
Yeah. Well, I'm writing a book on grace, so I have a lot to say about grace. So, but just to kind of come back to what you were just saying, you know, grace really is the living present, the direct experience of boundless love. And so boundless love isn't just the emotion of love. It's the sense of being blessed, of being given everything, of being infinitely grounded and stabilized in such sort of depth of generosity, and yet being completely showered in all the light imaginable. And it's that it also is what transforms us. You know, it's this loving presence that's always wanting to open and bless us and transform us. There's a line from Rumi where he says, there is a living presence that gives the gifts. And to me, that's what grace really is. It's the living presence that gives the gifts. And it gives us what we really need because it is love. And so sometimes it's easier to see that when, we're very aware of beautiful things in our life. We've just fallen in love, or, some wonderful windfall has happened, or things have gone our way, or we're experiencing some tremendous synchronicity and we really feel the gifts that are being given to us. And so there's a natural gratitude. But what we also need to remember is that it's also the grace that brings the grit, what appears to be the challenges and difficulties in our lives. And understandably, it's harder to be equally as grateful for that when it's happening. I mean, anyone who's going through a health challenge or a big financial setback or a divorce or some, very painful passage with their child or marriage, or, it doesn't feel like grace when those things are happening. But that's where the spiritual work comes in, because if we can understand that, as the Course says, all things are lessons God would have me learn, and if we understand that, grace is love and it is always wanting to liberate us, then, it might be that the difficulties are here to initiate us into a whole other level. I mean, just to let you know, last year I went through something like this with a big health crisis my husband had. It was very serious. And in the midst of it, we got evicted from the home that had been our 8 years. It was just like crazy how intense it was.
Yeah.
And I was aware at the time, every single retreat I was teaching was all on grace. So it wasn't lost on me. Mm-hmm. But going through all of that, now I look back and I see what a profound initiation that was. Mm-hmm. Because the demands on me were so strong and multidimensional, there was no option but to live at a whole other level of radical presence, spontaneous mm-hmm. availability, and, just in prayer, because it wasn't possible to function any other way. And so what's happened is that I'm at a whole other level of embodiment and functioning since going through that. And it's subtle, but I have never felt such a depth of peace, gratitude for everything exactly the way it is. And there's a level of stabilization in me that's new. And I recognize that it was born out of that period that I went through late last year. So it's very clear to me that grace, being divine presence, what it wants for us is not only our fulfillment and our happiness, but it wants us to embody the grace deeper into this world. That's its will. So once we understand that's its will, then the practice is always just learning to say yes to whatever's happening in our life. Yes, help me learn whatever the lessons are here. Help me open into this invitation that you were bringing to me. Use this situation in my life to birth in me, deeper presence, deeper beauty, deeper blessings that bring forth more of an embodiment of grace into this world. And that's how everything that we go through, the good, bad, and the ugly, can become a gateway into deeper grace. And that's very much what my next online course is actually all about.
Beautiful. That is such a helpful offering at this time, because I see many spiritual students at crossroads. Some are realizing it, some are not. And we all come to crossroads, of course.
Sure.
And the script has many, our life script has many opportunities and twists and turns in it that are perfectly planned for us. And I know I was so surprised last year with the election, how many spiritual people that I had known for a very long time were so angry and so upset and so intense. And I had my own moments. I definitely, you know, had to work through something for which now I'm so grateful because I'm on the other side of it and I feel so blessed. But, and I still see quite a few of them really struggling. And they aren't able to see that even everything that we cannot stand, we cannot abide, that we feel an absolute aversion to, those things are such a gift to us if we're willing to put our opinions aside for even just a moment and say, I don't know what anything is for.
See, that's the essence of humility. And I have to say, that lesson in A Course in Miracles has saved me many times. I'm so grateful for it. But that's the essence of humility, is not presuming I know what should happen here. Because when we really look at that, you know, like, who can really say that with certainty? You know, I mean, you might think you know, you might know a little bit, but do you really know everything? You know, that's ego arrogance right there. And so when we... when we kind of relax our positions and our assumptions and our judgments for a moment and lean into, I don't know, even on the collective level, there's peace. And in that peace, there's receptivity to, you know, to really feel the pulse. And a lot of the way I experience the Holy Spirit isn't so much a voice, but it's a feeling of a pulse. And it's a very refined, subtle, but substantial pulse that moves me in a direction that opens my heart and mind and opens and guides me in a different direction that is a healing and a helpful and a peaceful direction. And, you know, I think that's a very, very important thing to sit with in light of what's going on in our world. And it's not just, you know, America. I've just come back from teaching in Europe, and people are feeling as much uncertainty and fear with the Brexit and what will happen to Europe. And, you know, we're just living in big times. And how do we know that, you know, the underlying kind of pulse here isn't a force for liberation, whether you like or dislike Donald Trump? You know, I mean, personally, I'm not a fan, but, you know, that's not really the point.
Yeah, and as you were talking about the challenges last year, particularly with your husband's health, these things, they really put everything in perspective extremely quickly.
Yeah.
And for me, some years ago, my mom was diagnosed with a terminal illness, and after a few years, she did pass away. And that time, those years where she was living with that seeming threat of losing her life, what it did for me, Miranda, was right at the beginning, I said, okay, for realsies now, my mother is not going to leave the planet until we have nothing but unconditional love between us. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea how to accomplish that, but I am 100% willing, and I will do whatever it takes.
Yeah, and that's it so much there, is like that commitment to what it is that you truly value, what really matters, and the humble and honest recognition, I don't know how, and then the calling, you know, the calling forth, the receptivity, the grace, you know, the guidance, to show you how. And it does, if we will only practice. I mean, so much of, you know, my daily practice now is, you know, just leaning into a very simple prayer. What's needed now? What's the way now? And if I don't presume I know, if I don't lead with any ordinary mind, if I don't try to lead myself, if I really just keep dropping that question in, what's true now? What's needed now? And there's this natural kind of being moved in the direction that is healing and helpful. And So, you know, I really take that instruction in the text very seriously, to make no decisions of yourself. And that's a big part of how our consciousness expands. And that is a very humble and vulnerable way to live, but it's a much more beautiful and empowering, delightful and expansive way to live. And dare I say, more efficient.
More efficient, more fun, more prosperous, more beautiful, just more juicy, more delicious.
All of it. Yeah.
We're the only ones who are blocking the flow of the all good. And fortunately, it's just a trick of our mind, and we can remember to laugh, and then things do change. And, you know, in that time with my mom, I not only did I not know how, I literally did not feel capable, but I was willing and I was determined. Those were the two things. And I decided to rely upon the Holy Spirit to undo all the consequences of my millions of wrong decisions. And that supported me. Now, one of the things you're starting to lead us towards, which is perfect because we're going to be talking about this with Gary Renard on Wednesday, is intuition. And how do we perceive or feel or know or hear that connection, that guidance? So you're telling us and demonstrating the value of asking and not deciding, but being led. And this is where, as you know, many, many people get confused, and out of their confusion, they just give up.
Yeah. Well, I think what has to happen first is, firstly, we need to settle. You know, we need to step back from our ordinary mind. I love our Course in Miracles keeps saying, you know, step back and let him lead the way. And it's saying that over and over again, but how so often people are trying to sort of stay in the driving seat but ask for guidance and then get all kind of agitated because they're not hearing guidance. Well, you're not going to hear guidance until you actually step back. So I've been sort of teaching for many, many years a whole process on how we really access divine mind. But the bulk of it is the first we have to actually let go of any sense of me and my thoughts and my direction and my strategies. And that means settling into the silence and settling into the unified condition. And once you're actually in the quiet mind, then you can ask anything and just rest in the quiet, and it starts to come. And it may or may not come while you're meditating. Often, you know, you're drop into that quiet place, and then you come out of meditation and nothing seems to happen, and then you go for a walk and all of a sudden you just see something fresh. Or you're with a girlfriend and, you know, all of a sudden they just happen to say something and you have this huge aha moment. Or you pick up a book and there it is in black and white and you see something completely new. So, you know, so much of it is relaxing the anxiety, you know, the fear of what if. And so the bulk of guidance is, you know, learning to relax that, coming out of your mind, really.
So for people who feel that is next to impossible,
then I would suggest some of the meditations on my website.
Yeah.
Now, really, you know, I mean, because that's really what has to happen before you can hear any guidance. And, you know, part of when even I say the word hear any guidance, you know, everyone receives inner wisdom, inner tuition in a very unique way. You know, some of us are very visual, some of us are very auditory, some of us are more kinesthetic, some of us are a combination of all three. So a lot of it is, you know, just learning to, you know, just create a little space, just, you know, lay your fears on the altar of the Holy Spirit and say, okay, these are my fears. You know, I just put them down and just open to the possibility and ask for help, but then just relax any seeking for what's the answer, what's the answer. You know, it's like we're being thirsty fish, you know, running around saying, I'm really thirsty, where do I get the water? But we're in it. So the issue is more about relaxing into the quiet, relaxing into the unified, settled condition. And then it's all there. All the wisdom's there. Like all the love's there. We are that.
I'm reminded of the teaching in the Course about I need do nothing.
That's right. Everything that I have to say, that is the nucleus of it, because that's the how. And that's what's so perplexing to the mind, because our ego is a doing machine. Our ego thinks I am the doer, and it's frantically trying to do it. And what all spiritual teachings, Course in Miracles, and every other teaching that I've looked at, is really all asking us to relax and surrender the I am the doer. In fact, Ramana Maharshi was once asked, what is the end of the path? And he said two things. Number one, to know that all of your thoughts and words and actions are God's. And number two, to be free from the thought, I am the doer. So when we relax the construct, oh, I am me and I am the doer and I'm the one that has to figure it out, that's what needs to be surrendered, because that's not the truth of the matter. You didn't birth yourself. You're not breathing yourself. You're not causing your own existence. That's caused by the mystery of grace that's everywhere all the time. And that's the doing force. That's what causes an egg and a sperm to shape, take shape into a human being. That's what causes us to be interested, to find a path of awakening. That's what causes us to know that love is valuable. And that's what causes all the plants to blossom into the living beauty that they are. It's just what's causing everything all the time, whether you're aware of it or not. So when we realize who the doer really is, then we're naturally in right relationship to the source of our being, and then everything is more unified and fluid, more expanded. We are in boundless love and part of that. That is our true condition, the place we belong.
I'm reminded too that I see many spiritual students thinking that if they can find some particular mantra or practice, that will somehow save them. But what I hear you saying so beautifully, Miranda, is that the practice, the mantra, the words, the thoughts, whatever they are that are necessary for us to awaken within this dream, will all be given to us as soon as we are really willing to recognize that love is what we are, and to be interested in that, to commune with that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just a conceptual knowing. It's we have to really surrender into it in a very real way. And so for many people in the past, you know, it's conceptual for many years. But at a certain point, there's a knock on the inner door that invites us to really surrender into what we might have been reading and studying, and let it become real. And that's a very important moment in someone's life. And usually they need help with that. You know, I find there's a limit to how much this can be done on your own. And so it's good that you're offering what you're offering, and I'm out there in the world too, and there are other teachers, because there's a very real need, you know, for love and support and guidance from other people. Of Course in Miracles, you know, says that the grace isn't necessarily just vertical. You know, it's emerging through all of life. And so everything and everyone can be the voice of the Holy Spirit if we let it be, if we're willing to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and say yes to the invitations that come, as they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know Regina Dawn Akers?
I think I've done an interview with Regina a year or two ago.
Yeah, she's lovely. She's a wonderful teacher of spirituality and a student of the course for many, many years. And she is the scribe of a book called The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a beautiful offering. She's got other books as well. She's really lovely. Mm-hmm. And we've become friends over the years, and she's done a few of these Living A Course in Miracles classes with us. And on a couple of occasions, she has shared stories where she felt the consciousness of an apple or the consciousness of a towel rack. Mm-hmm. and realizing that truly love is in everything. Everything is speaking to us. Everything is loving us.
Yeah.
So deeply and so profoundly. And we can really open to receive all that love, to lift our vibration so that we recognize, oh, that's what we are too. Everything.
Absolutely. That's totally my experience, that literally every breath is love. That, you know, we are in the love always, and, you know, we are infinitely sustained by it, as the Course says. You know, I am sustained by the love of God. And that's the invitation, is for us to open to receive the truth of that and to let it nourish us. And it gives us strength to walk the path more honestly, more substantially, practice more deeply. And that's the way. For us all.
Indeed. And I'd like to circle back here as we're coming to almost time. We have still a few more minutes. If you could tell us again, for those who missed it, you have a retreat coming up in just 10 days, you said.
Yeah.
On the very topic.
I do. Well, I'm giving a retreat called Opening Into Boundless Love. It's a 4-day residential retreat, June 1st through 4th, and it's at a really beautiful place called Santa Sabina, which is about half an hour north of the San Francisco Bay Area. And really the whole focus is on dropping the search for love, opening more substantially into love's presence, and living into the unending fullness of your true heart. So this is a pretty advanced retreat. Most of the people that study with me and come to these retreats have been with me for years. And so we'll be drawing a lot from A Course in Miracles, but other non-dual traditions and many of the things I've been speaking about today. And my work is very experiential. So it's deep, juicy stuff. So if anyone wants to learn more about that, then they can go to the schedule page on my website. And my website address is www.myname, which is MirandaMacPherson.com, MirandaMacPherson. So Opening to Boundless Love Retreat, June 1st through 4th. I also wanted to mention that I do online programs through the Shift Network, and we use the Zoom platform, which is really lovely, so we can all see each other, and you get so much support materials, the video recordings, the audio recordings, the transcripts, so it's an amazing service that they offer. And I'm giving a 10-week program called Living in Boundless Love, and the subtitle for that is Harnessing Your Deepest Yearnings and Life Challenges as Gateways into Grace. So that will be very rich too. That's starting at the end of June, and if people want to know more about that, they really need to sign up to my newsletter, and I don't bombard people. I only send things out that I think, you know, will be meaningful, and it's usually about once a month, not weekly. So if you sign up to my newsletter, then you'll automatically get the information for that, including an invitation to listen to a free dialogue on that subject, similar to today. So that will be coming up shortly. And also, if you go to my website, you'll see, and the heart of the website is something called The Sanctuary, which is a virtual sanctuary with all kinds of amazing meditations, teachings, video, audio, really great resources to help you on your path. So I really hope that that will be useful to people who've been listening today.
I'm sure it will, because you really do have a treasure trove of resources on your website. So helpful. And I love that you have simple meditations that people can do when a variety of things are going on. It's so helpful to have those kinds of resources for people. Because a lot of times, especially, I don't know if you know, Miranda, but we will have people in over 100 countries listening to these classes.
Gosh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they're completely free, and the transcripts are free. And there's no charge for them ever. So, it's really wonderful that we can do that. It's just a gift to the community, and it's really supported because people make donations, and that covers our costs. Otherwise, we couldn't do it. Yeah, in the beginning, we charged for them, as many telesummits do, but we're able now. People are donating because they appreciate them. Mm-hmm. And so people will be able to listen to these for a long time. Mm-hmm. And we have so many people who are out in the hinterlands where they don't have spiritual friends, prayer partners.
That's very much why I run the Shift Network programs. That basically, it's, you know, the best that I can do to give my teachings, including all the experiential programs and the exercises, and I work a lot with holistic inquiry as well as meditation. And it's the best that I can do if people can't come to retreats. There is no substitute for doing retreats, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. But, these are very substantial programs, and the teachings that build week on week on week. It's a lot more than I'm able to give in an interview like this today. So if people really want to work with me in my methodology and practice, then that's the way to do it. And nice thing about the online format for us all is that it doesn't matter where people are based in the world. And I think that's one of the tremendous gifts of the technology, that we really can use it as vehicles for liberation. You know, it's great.
Indeed it is. I feel so grateful. I say all the time that we're transcending time and space with the help of technology.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, indeed.
Very grateful. Yeah. Well, I am going to say a prayer to seal the deal here. And I'm just like to say first, I'm so grateful for your beautiful consciousness, the deep work that you obviously do every day. It shines forth in every word you share, Miranda, and I feel very blessed that I got to spend this hour with you. So thank you.
You're so welcome. It's a joy. Blessings to everyone who's listening.
Mm-hmm. So let's all take that breath together and once again place our hands on our heart and remind ourselves that we are that love, we are the perfection, we are the wholeness, we are the freedom, we are the joy, we are all that spirit is. Every spiritual quality is part of our true identity. So we are grateful and thankful to consciously attune and partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self for the purpose of recognizing and remembering our true nature is already perfect, already free. We are grateful and thankful to surrender all the blocks to love, to lay them on the altar gratefully and thankfully, so willing to let Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting of figuring out how to resolve and dissolve the patterns of lack, attack, limitation, and separation. We're letting them all go here and now. We are grateful and thankful to choose to live by grace and to see our brothers and sisters as they truly are. So we share the benefits of our healing, our expansion, our clarity with everyone because we're one with them. In gratitude, we allow it to be. We let it be. And so it is. Amen.
And so it is. Amen. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Miranda. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye now.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.